Luke chapter 6, verse 27 and 28, and we'll read also verses 35 and 36. This is the reading of God's Word. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. Father, let our faith grow and we'll be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that through your word that we will see what our Lord has done and what he has accomplished for us. Let us see our heavenly realities, so that we may live as such by faith. And let us also have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ through your word. And we pray that by your grace, your word will be preached correctly and all of us will not only believe but obey your word. We pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, through the book of Luke, we are looking at Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, accomplishing the kingdom of God. So through his teachings and his works, the reality of kingdom of God is witnessed and taught. For Christians, the whole world is turned upside down. And through the book of Luke, the reality of the citizens of the kingdom of God is also witnessed and taught. The reality of the life of that kingdom is also witnessed. Who are the citizens of the kingdom of God? Well, so far, through his teaching, we realize the citizens of the kingdom of God, they are the poor in spirit. They are hungry for righteousness. They mourn for their sins, and they are persecuted for the sake of Jesus Christ. They are poor in this world. They hunger, they weep in this world, and they are persecuted because of their faith in Jesus Christ. In our passage, Jesus continues to teach how the reality of the citizens of the kingdom of God is witnessed in this world. In our passage for today, Luke chapter 6, verse 27 and 28, we see the reality of the citizens of that kingdom in four things. First, love their enemies. Second, do good to those who hate them. Third, bless those who curse them. And fourth, pray for those who mistreat them. These are the descriptions that we have on the citizens of the kingdom of God. And I want you to examine yourself, because you claim to be the citizens of the kingdom of God. And verse 35 tells us that they will be sons of the Most High. Well, by doing these things, they witness they are truly the sons of God. And verse 35b tells us that even our God is kind to ungrateful and evil men. God is commanding us to do these things. And we need to understand the commands of God in a biblical way. And I will begin with this. The sons are in the image of their father. You often hear, if you are a son, people coming to you and say, oh, you look like your father, and you think nothing of it because it's so natural if you are a son to be like your father. Genesis chapter 5 verse 3, when Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth. Adam became the father of a son in his own likeness, according to his image. Just like it, we were created in the likeness of God, in the image of God. Meaning that we were created as God's sons. But because of sin, that image of God in us became corrupted. So now being saved means that that image of God is now restored. Colossians chapter 3 verse 10, and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of one who created him. We are recreated in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. And just God by doing that, He gives us purpose. We are recreated in the image of Jesus Christ, meaning that your purpose and my purpose is to be like Christ. It's to be like God. Yes, we will never be God, but like God in His attributes. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He will be the firstborn among many brethren. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2b, we know that when He appears, we will be like Him because we will see Him just as He is. This is the purpose. See, you might have your own purpose as you live life out there, but God has His purpose for you. And God's purpose always triumphs over your purposes. And His purpose is to make you just like Jesus Christ. So, the commands of God. God commands you to do certain things because to do those things is to become more like His Son, Jesus Christ. In our passage, God commands us to love our enemies. When there is God's command, then it will happen just as He commands. We see this in the creation. Genesis 1, God says, let there be light, and there was light. Nothing in this universe can refuse God's command. And you might, whenever you sin, you think you are refusing it, but ultimately, His command will happen in your life. When you wake up in heaven, you will see that everything that God has commanded you is now your reality in heaven. Thus, all the commands of God in the Bible are the gospel. It's the good news. God's commands will come true. So when God says, love your enemies, then we will ultimately obey His command perfectly in heaven. We will love perfectly all those who were once our enemies. But what we need to also believe is that that reality is already accomplished spiritually in Jesus Christ. It is our present spiritual heavenly reality. Thus, when you hear God's command in our passage, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you, through His commands, and in these commands, I want all of you to see what kind of people you have already become in Jesus Christ. When you hear this command, don't say, oh, now what? Don't let this command be a burden to you. But in these commands, you see what kind of people you have already become in Jesus Christ. And what kind of people you're going to be in heaven. Realize that this is your reality. You have, in Christ, already became this kind of people. Thus, God's command to live as such people. Obey His commands. Your obedience comes from your faith in what has already happened to you in Jesus Christ. So that you do everything by faith. Because apart from faith, everything that we do is sin, the Bible says. Love your enemies. Who are they? Who is our enemy? Well, according to our passage, they are the ones who hate you. They are the ones who curse you. They are the ones who mistreat you. Love these people. Bless these people. Pray for these people. Do good to these people. Why? Is it because to do so is morally superior? No. Christianity is not about morality. That's what the world talks about. No, we must do these things because that is who we are in Christ. That is how we are going to be in Christ forever in heaven. Because that is our heavenly reality. And to live that way is to participate in the life of Christ. And that is what our lives are all about anyway. Our lives are Christ-centered life and heaven-centered life. And if you read these commands very carefully, you will realize that our Lord Jesus Christ lived that way. He obeyed those things perfectly. When He lived His life here on earth. So by doing those things, not only you are imitating Christ, you are actually participating in His life. And when you do that by faith, you are showing to the whole world that Jesus' life is actually your life. And that is biblical. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 10. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. While we were enemies of God, He loved us and died for us. Thus, His command to love your enemies is exactly what He did for you. Love your enemies. Another word of saying that is be like God. Imitate God. Or live as who you are. Because God has already made you that kind of person who will love His enemies forever in heaven. You have to really understand these commands in a biblical way. This is not how the world will see these commands. Even commands, you have to read it with faith. I really believe this is so important, and yet this is not how you will hear it, usually. Some people might say that they were never God's enemies, even when they were not Christians. But the Bible says that they were. So either you take what the Bible says or you reject it. And they will tell you, I didn't know God, but I was never enemies. But Bible says they were. Jesus died for us while we were His enemies. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God loved us when we were His enemies. He died for us on the cross because He loved us. His death on the cross is what love is all about. His death for us is the definition of love, the meaning of love. When He was being crucified on the cross, He prayed for the people who are nailing His hands and His feet. Luke chapter 23, verse 34a, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. This is Christian love. It is not loving the people who deserve your love. It is to love our enemies. This is Christian love. Oh, you might say, he doesn't deserve my love. God is saying to you, maybe that's true, he might not deserve, but you have to love. Because that's the love that God loved us with. He loved us, his enemies. And if you don't understand loving your enemies, then you don't understand the gospel. Because gospel is exactly that, loving one's enemies. Luke chapter 6, verse 32 through 33, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. Loving the ones who love you, even sinners do the same. But you and I, we are not living according to the standard of this world. Everything is according to Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our motivation, our meaning, and our purpose. He is everything for us. You might say, why? Our answer is always because of Jesus Christ. And if you don't want to do it, even though it's for Christ, in Christ, well, then we have nothing else to say to you. Christianity is all about Christ. And you do whatever that God asks you because of Christ. Nothing else, nothing more, just Christ. Loving the enemies, that is what Jesus did. That is what the gospel is. By loving our enemies, we are proclaiming the gospel. And we are living the gospel itself. And that's what true witnessing is all about. Please, witness Christ in a biblical way. Now, there is something we must look at this point, and I know I don't want to be too long, but we'll have to look at this, and we'll look at it very briefly. In the Old Testament, we have many passages, like in Psalms, that curses the enemies. But here, God says, love your enemies. So, how are we to take those Old Testament passages? For example, King David cursing his enemies. The Old Testament, as you know, points to Jesus Christ. Certain passages in the Old Testament points to the first coming of Jesus Christ, and the other passages point to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, there is no clear divisions. And sometimes certain passages point to both the first and the second comings of Jesus Christ. Even those passages that are pointing to the second coming of Jesus Christ are actually pointing to the first coming of Jesus Christ in spiritual sense. Meaning, even in His first coming, we see the reality of His second coming, but in spiritual way. Let us see an example. You go back to the time of Abraham. Abraham, that time, points to the era before the coming of the kingdom of God. Because you know, in the Old Testament, kingdom of God comes in the Moses' time, Joshua time. But Abraham's time is before that. So it is the era that kind of points to era that is before the coming of the kingdom. But, like I said before, in the time of Moses, the kingdom of God is accomplished. Thus, the time of Abraham points to the church age, and the time of Moses points to the reality of the kingdom of God visibly consummated. So, when you read the Moses time, it's actually pointing to Jesus' second coming, and His kingdom is now visibly consummated. Thus, Abraham, at his time, had to buy the land, pay for the land in the promised land. But Moses' time, he just goes there and just kills everyone and took the land. That's the difference. So, in the time of church era, we don't put judgments on non-Christians. It's like Abraham's time. He had to buy the land. Just like we need to do that. We have to pay for it. But when Jesus returns, oh, He will judge the whole world. Do you understand the difference? Now and when Jesus comes, there's difference. Just like it, there's a difference in the time of Abraham and time of Moses. If we do not understand this, then man, just confusion everywhere. So in Joshua's conquering the land of Canaan, it points to his second coming. So Joshua had to kill everybody. But God never says to Abraham, go to promised land and kill everyone. No, because his time was pointing to church era. Do you understand? So, the time of Abraham pointed to the common grace era. But the time of Moses pointed to an era in which the common grace is over, finished. So when you go to heaven, when Jesus returns, common grace is no more. All non-Christians will be judged. But not now. We don't judge non-Christians because they don't believe. No, you don't do that now. The era in which we live, namely the church age, is the era in which the common grace continues. It is an era of Luke chapter 6, verse 35b. We read that in the beginning. For he himself, God, is kind to ungrateful and evil men. In the era of common grace, God is kind to both Christians and non-Christians. And that was reason why we need to be kind to our enemies. We live in an era that common grace continues. But when you go to heaven, God will never ask you to love people who are in hell. He will never do that. Because common grace is over when Jesus returns. When Jesus comes back, he will not be kind to ungrateful and evil men. Unless that person is in Christ. He will judge them forever. The common grace will end, completely end. But until that day, it is the era of the gospel. It is the era in which we must love our enemies. When we read about Israel destroying the land of Canaan, it pointed to the time of Jesus' second coming, the time of the last judgment, the eternal judgment, the time of heaven being visibly consummated, and the last judgment God pours out on the world. That was the picture. Thus Israel was to kill everyone. Only that time, not during Abraham's time, no. It is very important to know which story points to which part of the redemptive history that Jesus Christ is accomplishing. Thus, during the conquest of the land of Canaan, almost died because it was pointing to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and was pointing to the final judgment upon the world. Of course, they are dying for their sins. But it was pointing to the time of Jesus' second coming when all non-believers must be forever judged by God. We saw this many times when we studied Genesis and Exodus. And I hope you understand what I just said. Because it is very important to understand the flow of redemptive history. Otherwise, it will just be so confusing. Why is God telling them to kill everyone, even women and little ones? Well, that's exactly what's going to happen when Jesus returns. If you don't believe in Christ, even if you're a woman or little ones, you will be sent to hell. And do not understand this in a worldly, moral way. Worldly moral changes. Even now, you could see it changed already. Compared to biblical time, what is considered good is different. We'll talk about this more next time. Let's move on. By loving our enemies, we also witness the fact that Jesus has fulfilled all the laws of God. We witness the fulfillment of the laws of God by loving our enemies. In terms of what we are looking at today, by loving our enemies, we witness that in Christ, our enemies have become our neighbors. Galatians chapter 5 verse 14, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Romans chapter 13 verse 10, love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Thus the Bible says that love is a royal law. James chapter 2 verse 8, if however you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. The Bible says so much about loving our neighbors, but today's topic is about loving our enemies. So let's move on. Brothers and sisters, we must proclaim the gospel to our enemies by loving them. And we do not know who is chosen or not. We do not know when a non-believer will become our brother or our sister in Christ. Thus, we must love all people. Of course, we do more to the believers. And this is what God says. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So you doing more to Christians is actually biblical. Don't feel guilty doing more to your brothers or your sisters. But what about our true enemies? God is not saying that He will forever leave them alone. What God is saying is that we must leave it up to God when it comes to revenge. Paul says it this way. Romans chapter 12, verse 17 through 21. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, revenge is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So, there are true enemies. But see, we don't know whether that person is chosen or not, so we have to love them anyway. But it doesn't mean that God will just let go of all the wrong things of our enemies. But He doesn't want you to carry on your revenge, because God says the revenge is His. He will revenge for you. He will judge the world. So until you die, you love your enemies. But God will revenge when He comes back. So it's not God just saying, I will just let guilty go free. That's not what God is saying. But think about it. If your enemy becomes Christian, then every wrong thing that he has done to you, Jesus paid for it. Not only he's no longer your enemies, but every wrong thing that he has done for you, Jesus actually paid for it. So, we have nothing really to say. But if that enemy is forever non-Christian, oh, God will revenge. God will pour out His judgment upon that person. But for us, we love our enemies until we die, until Jesus Christ comes back. I hope it makes sense, because to me it's so clear what God wants us to do and why. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 9, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. We must love our enemies so that we may proclaim the gospel to that person. And to considering other believers as our enemy is utterly nonsense. And just that hate that you have because you believe that person is your enemy, even though he's a Christian. It's like God, the Father. Even though Jesus paid for your sins, even though Jesus died for your sins, God the Father coming to you and saying, no, I'm going to judge you anyway. I hate you. That's exactly what you're doing to your brother if you hate that person. Jesus paid for his sins. And how can you hate him? Consider him as your enemy. Utterly nonsense. Get rid of that hate in your heart. Get rid of it. Christians are never our enemy. Never. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 15. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, for always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Romans 12 verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. For all those reasons that we talked about. Remember, and I'll end with this. Remember, brothers and sisters, what Christian love is. Christian love is not loving someone who deserves your love. You might say to me, you don't understand. You don't know what he has done to me. If you know what he has done to me, you will not tell me to love that person. It might be true, but you still have to love that person. Let us think about what kind of love did we receive from God. We were his enemies. And when we betrayed him and followed the world, Jesus continued to love us, continued to did good to us, continued to bless us and continue to pray for us. All those four things that we just commands of God to you, Jesus did all those things to you, for you. These commands actually are the description of the life of Christ. Luke chapter 6, verse 27a, "But I say to you who hear," it is the same thing as Luke chapter 8, verse 8, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." Just hearing him physically, there is no faith nor obedience. But to those who believe and obey, God's promise of heaven is given. Luke chapter 6, verse 35, in the middle of that verse, "Your reward will be great." God says to you and to every Christian, love your enemies. Receive it with faith. And I will repeat this one more time and I'm done. Just like when God said, "Let there be light," there was a light. So when God says to you, love your enemies, believe that you have in Christ already become someone who will love your enemies, and with that faith, witness that reality by truly loving your enemies. I hope you got that. Because this is what true Christian life is all about. Even loving your enemy has to come from your faith. Your faith, believing that you have become someone who will love your enemy forever in heaven, that is your already spiritual reality. With that faith that you want to show who you have become, because that's who you are, so that you love that person, that enemy of yours. So that loving your enemy is by your faith. So that God will accept that. Even if your love might not be perfect at this time. Otherwise, you have to love your enemy with perfect love. Otherwise, you sin. But you say, "I can't." That's why you have to love your enemy by faith. Otherwise, it's sin. Even if you love a little bit, it's still sin. Because you have to love that person perfectly. I pray. And I do. That you will understand Christian way. Because I don't think many Christians out there understand Christian way. Always by faith. Without faith, it is sin. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for this faith that you give us. That in your commands we see who we are. What kind of people we will be in heaven. But what kind of people we have already become spiritually in Jesus Christ. So when we read your commands in your book, let us believe. So that we may, by faith, do those things because we are such a person who is able to do these things in Christ. That is our heavenly reality already. We thank you, God, that even your commands, they are not burden to us, but they are the good news to us. we thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.